بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 27th of April in the year 2021 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 15th glorious day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 60 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah today going through up to and including verse 63. So before mentioning the verses, all of these blessed verses were revealed due to an incident. So we'll mention the reports, then we'll go through the verses. So there's seven reports. So the first report is recorded in Tabarani in his Kabir, number 12,045. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 7-6, he states, Sahih. And Fath al-Bari 5-37, Ibn Abi Hatim Ibn Kathir, Al-Isaba 4-19 with a Jayyid chain. So this is an authentic report. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Abu Barza al-Aslami was a soothsayer. So this is important. Abu Barza al-Aslami, he later became a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in this report, this is before he had embraced Islam. And he was a soothsayer, meaning he used to do fortune telling. So Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, Abu Barza al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu was a soothsayer who used to judge between the Jews concerning matters that they referred to. So look how strange. The Jews, when they had problems, they would go to this soothsayer to sort out their problems. Some of the Muslims, and this is in inverted commas, also referred to him. They would go to him to sort their problems out. Thus Allah, the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed these verses. Surah 4, verse 60 to 62. So the translation. Have you not turned your vision to those who declared that they believe in the revelations that have come to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to those before you? Their real wish is to resort together for judgment in their disputes to Taghut, i.e. the evil one, though they were ordered to reject him. But Shaitan's wish is to lead them astray far. When it is said to them, come to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see the hypocrites avert their faces from you in disgust. How then when they are seized by misfortune because of the deeds which their hands have sent forth, then they come to you swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we meant no more than goodwill and conciliation. So simply put, in this Sahih Hadith, the Jews and so-called Muslims would resort to a soothsayer to sort their problems out. And Allah, the Almighty and Glorious, revealed these verses condemning both. He condemned the Jews because you're supposed to believe in scripture and you're turning to the soothsayers. And of course, he condemned the so-called Muslims who did this. So this is the first report. The second. So this is recorded in Tabari in his Tafsir 8-509 and Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari 5-38 states Sahih. Qatada rahmatullah alayhi said concerning this verse, it was revealed concerning two men, a man from the amongst the Ansar called Bishr and a man from amongst the Jews with regards to a dispute concerning some debt or property. They disputed. Then they referred to a soothsayer in Medina to judge between them. They did not go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized this. It is reported that the Jew called on him to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to judge between them because he knew that the Prophet would not be unfair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Ansar refused, even though he claimed to be a Muslim, and he called on him to go to the soothsayer. Thus Allah the Almighty revealed these words and criticized the action of the one who claimed to be a Muslim and the Jew who was one of the people of the book. And then he recited these verses. verses 60 to 61. So this adds details. So the name of that man is given, who apparently was a Muslim. His name was Bishr. But he wasn't a Muslim. He was a hypocrite. He was from the Ansar. And look how strange. They had a dispute, some property, some wealth, some land. So the Muslim, he goes, let's go to the soothsayer. He knew that by going to the Prophet, he's going to judge against him. So would a Muslim ever do that? And the Jew, he goes, let's go to the Prophet. Because he knew that by going to him, you'll get justice. So Allah the Almighty revealed these verses saying, look at the sickness of both these people. The Jews reject the Prophet and they're going to him knowing that he will be just. And the so-called Muslim, who's, you know, professor, he goes, let's go to the Sunsa. So Allah Ta'ala condemns both. And the name is mentioned, Bishr. A third report. So this is recorded in Tabari in his Tafsir 8-511 and Fath al-Bari 5-37-8. Ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, At-Tahut. So who's At-Tahut? The verse is saying, they turn to At-Tahut. At-Tahut was a man amongst the Jews who was called Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf. When they were called to that which Allah Ta'ala revealed unto the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to judge between them, they said, no, we will ask Ka'ab to judge between us. Upon this, Allah the Almighty revealed, verse 60, they wish to go to judgment to Tahut. So this is the third report. So the shaitan is actually Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf from amongst the Jews, who was called Tahut, i.e. the false judge. A fourth report. So this is recorded in Tabari in his Tafsir 8-511. Mujahid said, a man from amongst the Munafiqs disputed with a man from amongst the Jews. The Jews said, let us go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hypocrite said, let us go to Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf. Then Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. So now, looking at these four reports before moving on. So who is Tahut? One Sahih report said that Tahut was the ex-soothsayer, Abu Barza al-Aslami, who became a Sahaba. The other report says it's Ka'ab ibn al-Ashraf. And the answer is, it could refer to both. One repented, became a Sahaba. The other died within belief. But at the time they were Tahut, so there's no contradiction. So now Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says in his Tafsir, this verse or these verses condemns anyone who turns away from the Quran and Sunnah and refers for judgment to anything else which is false. This is what is meant by Tawhud here. So look how beautiful. Yesterday I mentioned the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions clearly that all you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those in authority amongst you. And I mentioned what that meant. Now look what Allah ta'ala is teaching you. He's teaching you about people who turned away from this. In other words, this isn't a sign of iman in the least, that you turned away from Allah ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are four reports. The fifth is mentioned. So this is recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim. Ikrimah, he relates, rahmatullah alayhi, from Ibn Abbas. He mentions four names. They were munafiqs. Al-Ghulas ibn al-Samit, Mut'ib ibn Kushar, Rafi ibn Zaid, and Bishr. They used to pretend they were Muslims, but they were not. When some Muslim men who belonged to their own people called them to Rasulullah to judge between them in a dispute, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which arose between them, they refused and invited them to refer to the matter of judgment to one of the priests who used to judge between them during the Jahiliyyah, at which this verse was revealed. So what's interesting is, if you look at the various reports, more details are mentioned. Names are now mentioned. And whose name sticks out again? Bishr, one of the four munafiqs. The reason I'm highlighting him is because there's a famous report about him. Sixth report. In Tabari, in his Tafsir 5-98, with a Sahih chain of transmission, Imam Sha'abi rahmatullah alayhi said, there arose a dispute between a Jew and a hypocrite. And the Jew said, I will seek judgment of those belonging to your religion. I will refer the case for the judgment from your prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he knew he does not take bribes. They differed because the hypocrite refused to refer the judgment of the case to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, they agreed on referring the matter of judgment to one of the pontiffs of Juhayna, at which this verse was revealed. So according to this report, the sixth report, they actually said, we won't go to the Prophet, we won't go to the one, the I one, we'll go to a neutral man. But he was also from the people of the book. So this is another Sahih report. Now the famous report. So there's a report, and this narration is recorded in Tafsir Baghawi 1-446, Tafsir Ta'labi 3-337, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ruh al-Ma'ani, Ma'rif al-Quran, Volume 2, page 481-2 of the English translation. It mentions that, and I'm summarizing the report, that there was a man called Bishr. So we know who that is now. It's the Munafiq who pretended to be a Muslim from the Ansar. There was a man named Bishr. He got into a dispute with a Jew. The Jew said, let's go to Muhammad. Bishr said, the hypocrite, he goes, no, let's go to Qab ibn Ashraf. Qab ibn Ashraf was a chief amongst the Jews. He was an enemy of Rasulullah and the Muslims. Mufti Shafi, he said, it was a strange coincidence that a Jew would leave his chief aside and elect to go to the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst Bishr, who called himself a Muslim, would bypass him and elect to go to the judgment of the Jewish chief. But there was a secret behind this, which I've mentioned. Since the Jew was known that he was right in the dispute, he knew that the Prophet would judge in his favor as compared to his own chief. Bishr knew he was wrong, therefore he realized he needed to go to the Jew. However, after some mutual talk, both of them agreed upon going to the Prophet. So this is interesting. So they talked to each other, and eventually, because let's go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they requested him to give the decision. So the case, the Prophet looked at it sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he proved that the Jew was in the right. He judged in favor of the Jew. So think about that. Look how pure, obviously, our Prophet is. The Jew, enemy of Islam, Muslim, in inverted commas, comes. The Prophet was never, you know, whatever the truth was, he went with the truth. And he said to the Jew, you are right. And he said to the so-called Muslim, you're wrong. Then what happened? But Bishr, he was not pleased with the judgment. Astaghfirullah. So he hit upon a new plan. He persuaded the Jew to agree somehow to go to Umar radiallahu, and have him give a decision in their case. The Jew agreed. So now question, why would the Jew agree to that? The Jew could have said, what are you on about? Your Prophet has judged in my favor. Forget it. The Jew knew that I'm gonna have some fun now. Umar, yeah, let's go to Umar. In other words, you know, he'll give you a few beatings as well. So they went. Bishr was under the impression that Umar was hard upon the unbelievers, so he would decide in favor of the Jew, against the Jew. Thus they both reached Umar, radiallahu. And before the so-called Muslim could say anything, the Jew told him everything. Because we've already been to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He listened to our case. He judged in my favor. And he wanted to come to you. So Umar radiallahu anhu, his expression, his countenance changed. He looked at Bishr. He goes, is this what really happened, Bishr? And Bishr goes, yes. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, fatanabbasu. Wait. I'm coming back. Now what's interesting, Allah Ta'ala uses that phrase in the Quran. And whenever he uses that phrase, he uses it as a warning. Wait, meaning you're in trouble. Bishr, you know, he thought, okay, I'll wait. Umar radiallahu anhu went to his dwelling, took out his sword, and he came rushing back. And before the hypocrite could say anything, he killed him. And then Umar said, this is the decision for him who is dissatisfied with the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there was a human cry. Obviously, he's Muslim, apparently. So news spread like wildfire. And then what happened? The report continues. The news reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hypocrite's family, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem, there's a difference between kufr in speech and kufr in belief. He may have said those words, but inwardly he was a believer. And we believe that. So obviously the family is trying to defend. And the only defense they've got is, look, he said some words which are obviously, we can't defend that. But we know in our hearts that he was a Muslim. So they were basically saying Umar needs to, vengeance needs to be taken, retaliation against Umar. He took the law into his own hands. When they put this case before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he reviewed these verses. But verse 62 is very pertinent. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? When they are seized by misfortune because of the deeds what their hands have sent forth, then they come to you swearing by Allah, we meant no more than goodwill and reconciliation. So Allah ta'ala exposed them. He goes, you're wrong. Umar is right. He was a munafiq and he got what he deserved. And then the report says, the Prophet did not take the matter any further. So now, is there a contradiction between these reports? No. Because who was the man? His name was Bishr. So no, the reports are confirming that he was one of them. But he was hiding his hypocrisy. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed in defense of Sayyidina Umar that he did right. Now this is very important to highlight. We can't do that. First of all, there's no Islamic state. Secondly, you're not Umar radiallahu. Thirdly, Rasulullah's not with us now. He's in the barzakh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, we know he had a strange trait, a noble trait. The angels would speak from his tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a famous hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that before you, there were men whom the angels would use, even though they were inspired, they were muhaddith, even though they were not prophets. And then they asked, who is it amongst us, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu, the angels would use him. He would speak and he would do things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Abu Dawud Sahih Hadith, the truth is in Umar's tongue and in his heart. So obviously Umar did what he did, but the man should have got the warning. He goes, wait. Right? Now think about it. We don't know what happened to the Jew. The Jew must have thought, you know, I wanted him to beat him up. I didn't think he'd kill him. But the Jew must have brought that news back to his brothers and said, look, when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to be very, very careful because the Muslims don't take prisoners. So note, all of these verses were revealed because of this incident. Now verse 63, to finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in their hearts, so keep clear of them. But admonish them and speak to them a word to reach their souls. Now this is a very important verse. Why? Because how should we treat the hypocrites? So first of all, how do we know a person's a munafiq? We don't know. But outwardly, there are signs. So what are the signs? They lie. They betray their trust. They use foul language when they get angry. And there's another one. But even if all of those signs are shown outwardly, we can't call them a munafiq. All we can say is, outwardly, you're acting like a munafiq. Have you understood? Only what's in the heart, Allah Ta'ala knows. But outwardly, these are signs. So question, if you get a person or people like this, how do we deal with them outwardly? So this verse explains. First of all, you don't take them into your confidence. The Quran says, keep clear of them. These people with these traits. Quran, what does it say? Keep clear. Don't bring them close because they're going to harm you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, admonish them. Now what's this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept clear of the hypocrites. But at the same time, he did not hesitate to show them the error of their ways. That's the admonishment. Nor to put in a word in season to penetrate their hearts and hopefully win them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how beautiful. So in this one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers how to deal with the outward signs of hypocrisy. Number one, keep clear of them. Number two, admonish them. right? You know, hopefully they may see the error of their ways and speak to them a word, the Quran says, وَقُلَّهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا, that will reach their souls. And if you look at Rasulullah, that's exactly how he dealt with the munafiqs. Right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, from this incident, Allah Ta'ala is not just mentioning stories. He's mentioning real life incidents that took place, but he's giving you the lesson from that. So you can take from what Allah Ta'ala wants by his grace and kindness. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى الطاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنكَ صُدُودًا فَكَيْفَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنْ عَرَضْنَا إِلَّا إِحْسَانًا وَتَوْفِيقًا أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم فأعرض عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قولا بليغا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وصدق الله صدق الله العظيم